If you will turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. We haven't very much time this morning left to us, but we can look to the Lord, and we know that He will give something to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But thanks be unto God, who always leadeth us in triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest through us the savour of His knowledge in every place. I want to underline this phrase, always leadeth us in triumph in Christ. Always leadeth us in triumph in Christ. Now, is that true of you? Is it true of me? Can I say that the Lord is always leading me in triumph in Christ? Do I know what it is to have a triumphant life? Do I know what it is to have a triumphant position in my affairs, in my circumstances? Here, God's word says we can always be led in the triumph of Christ. And I think that that the Apostle Paul, of all people, had the right to say this. It's not just coming out of a very nice, happy life, a kind of life in a rather pleasant Bible school somewhere, or a very nice rest home somewhere else, where he indulged in some ministry now and again as the mood took him. No. The Apostle Paul was right in the heart of a terrible conflict. It was, from beginning to end in his life, a matter of having to look to the Lord for his very life. He says in the beginning of this letter, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. We might say to him, well, Paul, you say you're always being led in the triumph of in Christ. Then what about this you say a little earlier about having the sentence of death within ourselves and weighed down so exceedingly that we despair even of life? Now, this is not just a pious platitude that comes out of a man who, out of a man's mouth, who has facility of speech and is able to tell us very nice and pleasant things about divine matters. No, it has come out of deep, inwrought, and sometimes bitter experience. But Paul can write over it all, always led in the triumph of Christ. Always led in triumph in Christ. Now, if Paul, with his experience, and if you turn in the same letter over the pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here you've got it, a great catalogue of difficulties and problems, which when you read them, well, I don't know whether there's a person in this room that would be able to open their mouth and complain again. Listen to this great catalogue from verse 23. I more, in labours more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in deaths oft, and so on, right the way through. In verse 26, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils for my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. Well, if a man with an experience like that can talk about always being led in triumph in Christ, I think it's worth taking note of. Because it means this, dear child of God, that there is not a single person within these walls today who cannot be led in triumph in Christ. Your kitchen sink, which seems such a monster at times, your children, which seem greater monsters at times, your husband, who may seem a monster at times, or your wife, who may seem a monster at times, or the church, which may seem monstrous at times, or the boss, or the office, or whatever it is, pales into insignificance against this experience of the Apostle Paul. There is not one of us who cannot know what it is to be always led in triumph in Christ. Always. It does not mean that you will live a life in which you never even see Satan, in which somehow or other troubles and anxieties and problems never even darken the horizon. It does not mean that. In fact, I might say that if you are going to, and if I am going to be always led in triumph in Christ, it will betoken very much difficulty and very much problem and very much trouble. And there will be times when the horizon is dark, blackened by messengers of Satan. You see, the devil cannot afford to have any saint, however insignificant or weak, who is going to get the secret of being always led in triumph in Christ. He will relentlessly trip that person up if he can. Now, I might just say one thing before I point out the key, I think, to triumph in Christ. I would like to say that sin always robs us of being led in triumph in Christ. Now, that's a very simple thing to say, but it's a very needful and necessary thing to say. Because sin is not, I'm afraid, just something that belongs to spiritual kindergarten. The great David sinned, and Moses sinned, and it seems almost a feature that the greatest of God's men have at the end sinned. It's something we have to watch all the time, and sin robs us of any triumph in Christ. In fact, sin spells defeat. And I don't know whether I'm speaking to some, and in our hearts we know that there is sin. It's not in the light. It's not confessed. It's not been dealt with. It might be the sin of jealousy. The sin of jealousy spells defeat. No triumph there. It might be the sin of criticism. That tongue that just runs away and talks and talks and talks. And the sin of criticism spells defeat. It may be the sin of carelessness. Carelessness with the things of God. There was a time when you were always at the time of prayer. But now, well, you have many legitimate excuses, but you're never at the time of prayer. There was a time when you were always at the time of Bible study, but now You watch television, or you listen to the radio, or you read a novel. The sin of carelessness. It began in such a small way. Of course, you got tired. It was the children. It was the weariness of the day. And when you got home, you felt, I can't pull myself together and go along. And it began in such a small way. And then slowly but surely, the appetite for the things of God was taken away. And another appetite came in its place. It's the sin of carelessness. And it always spells defeat. And we could go on, and we could go on, and we could go on. There are so many things, but that's not my point this morning. I only want to underline that sin spells defeat and cuts us off from always being led in triumph in Christ. If there is sin in our lives, we know what to do with it. Bring it out into the open. Bring it out into the light of God. It will shrivel up once it's brought right out into the open. Share it, if necessary, with another brother or sister and pray about it together. You'll find sometimes when a thing is confessed and shared, not necessarily in open, but just with another, it's dealt with in that instant, by the Lord. But get it settled and dealt with. Now we are talking about being led in triumph in Christ. Well, there are three things in the Psalms, and I'm literally only going to touch on them and leave them with you, about being led in triumph. The first is in Psalm 20 and verse 5. Psalm 20 and verse 5. We will triumph in thy salvation. We will triumph in thy salvation. There is absolutely no reason at all why a single believer should not know what it is to be always led in triumph in Christ. Not one of us. Because there has been provision made for every single child of God to be led in triumph in Christ. We will triumph in thy salvation, says the psalmist. And then he goes on, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. We will triumph. Oh, for a spirit of faith. Oh, for a spirit of holy determination. That we're not going to live defeated lives. We're not going to be compromised. We're not going to be just, as it were, brought into that nether world of shades, of awe, of grace. But we are going to triumph. How? In thy salvation. It's not just our own self-will, our own strong will. It's not our own resources. By the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will triumph. Now listen. The most weak-willed and the most anemic and the most spineless people naturally can triumph through the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is ours in him. Everything. There is not a single thing that the Lord Jesus has not done for us that we might always be led in triumph in Christ. You know, if you turn to Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we're told we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, it doesn't say that we are blessed with the greatest of spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, or the majority of spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, or the most spiritual of spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. It says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means that there is not a single blessing that is not ours in Christ. Everything is ours in Christ. What do you want? What do you need? Do you need the blessedness of justification? It's in him. Do you need the blessedness of the cross? It's in him. You want to be freed from your self-life? It's there for you in Christ. You want to know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the blessedness of being indwelt by the Spirit of God? It's there for you in Christ. You want to know the blessedness of the power of his resurrection? It's there for you in Christ. You want to know the power of the Holy Ghost? It's there for you in Christ. Every single blessing, from the little tiny ones to the great big ones, are ours in Christ. All blessing. Yes, we will triumph in thy salvation. And if you turn over the pages, you will find in Philippians 4 and verse 19 that there's all provision. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I love the word according to his riches. It's as if a millionaire were to write to me and say, now, my dear Mr. Lambert, I am going to meet all your needs according to my investments. My word. Oh, I should be so happy. I should say, well, if it was Mr. Getty or Mr. Gulbenkian, I would say straight away, now then, this check that's coming is not a small thing. He has said according to his riches. It would be beneath his dignity to send me a few shillings. I'm quite, it reminds me of a book I've been reading recently about the Rothschilds, where one of them gave £50,000 when he died to his nephew to go out and buy a box of chocolates. £50,000 to go out and buy a box of chocolates. But you see, it was according to his riches. That was how a Rothschild thought. They had so much in the bank that it was according to their riches. And it says here, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches. The Lord is munificent. He is absolutely so bountiful in his giving. I mean, the Lord will meet all our need. He will provide for us according to his riches. He won't do things in a mean, miserly way, as if he's counting the pennies and is afraid that if he's a little too generous with you, it might somehow or other do something to his riches, drain his resources. No, all provision is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, of course, here it can and rightly, in context, be taken to mean financial things. But I am quite sure when you read this Philippian letter that it covers much more than merely financial needs. My God shall supply all your need. What is your need? Well, there is all provision. Not only all blessing in Christ, but all provision. And notice, it's always in Christ. Always in Christ. And maybe there's someone who needs grace. Well, if you turn back to 2 Corinthians and chapter 9 and verse 8, we have, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. Do you need grace? You tell me your circumstances are terrible. You say, it's all very well. The Apostle Paul must have been a characterful person. And these other people who are living triumphant Christian lives, they're characterful people. It's no good as far as I'm concerned. My circumstances are hopeless. My boss, the people I work with, they're hopeless people. But listen to what the Lord says. This is part of his salvation. He says, God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in all things. Always all sufficiency in all things. This is our salvation. If you and I are not experiencing it, it's not God's fault. It's ours. Here is a wonderful salvation by which we can triumph. We will triumph in thy salvation. We will take the grace that is offered. We will take the provision that is offered. We will take the blessings
we need by faith.
But someone says they have no power. So I want to turn you to Colossians and chapter 1 and verse 11. And here is Paul's prayer for the saints in the church at Colossae. He prays this, that they may be strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Now that's the kind of power you and I need. According to the might of his glory. What is God's glory? You know this devil that we all know too well in many ways. He's been on the job for thousands and thousands of years. He's proved himself to be more than a match for ordinary mortals. He has undone God's people. He has ruled and possessed unsaved men. And he has wrecked human life as we know it. But do you know what it says in God's word? That when the Lord Jesus Christ is manifested in glory, he will slay him with the breath of his mouth. Just let the breath of the glory of the Lord Jesus touch the devil and he's finished. That man of sin, that Antichrist, we're told, in 1 Thessalonians 2, will be slain by the breath of his mouth, the might of his glory. Strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Isn't it tragic that so many of us are weak? We are like, we should be, as it were, like those wonderful, great Daimlers or a Rolls-Royce. Instead, we're like one of those first little models of a Ford, running around somehow or other trying to do things. We seem to have inadequate resources. We seem to be out of date, behind the times, spiritually all the time. And yet here is what the Lord has provided for us in our salvation, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. We will triumph in thy salvation. And if we can triumph through the salvation of the Lord, then if you'll turn to Psalm 92, verse 4, Psalm 92, verse 4, we read the psalmist again, and he says here, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. We will triumph in thy salvation. Now, yes, there is everything provided for us. But wait, the second key is this. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Do you know what brings so much compromise to us? Because there's so much of our works. Our works. Our flesh life. Our self life. Our own energy. We're doing the work, not the Lord. If you want to learn the key of always being led in triumph in Christ, make absolutely sure that it's the works of his hands. Through the works of God's hands you will triumph. That was Paul's secret. You know, he thought, I think I'll go to the saints there. I think I'm needed there. And he went gaily and spontaneously. But suddenly something stopped him. He knew the Lord so inwardly, something stopped him. And he said, you know, we are saved to go to Bethany. But the Spirit forbade us. And they went another way. You see? You see, he wasn't walking in his own works. He was walking in God's works. It wasn't that he was working for God. He was working with God. Now, there's a great difference in working for the Lord and working with the Lord. When the Lord is the worker and we are working with him, there's a great difference. And you see, it's not my works that I shall triumph in, and it's not others' works that I will triumph in, but it's his works that I will triumph in. And in Ecclesiastes and chapter 3 and verse 14, we read this, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God hath done it, that men should fear before him. Oh, to be in works like that. To be in the works of God. And to know that when the devil comes out against us,
Well, it's the work of the Lord. It's the work of the Lord. It's not my works. My works, the devil's only got to blow upon them and they'll dissolve. The devil's only just got to touch the work of my hands, it will crumble. But let the devil start to tamper with the works of God, and he comes into collision with the throne. Do you know the trouble with so many of us is that when the devil's in danger of coming into collision with the throne, we get in the way. We collide with the devil. And then we're in a very sorry state and condition. The great thing is this. Get out of the way.
I don't know if you've ever seen a wrestling match, and you've seen two great sort of heavyweight wrestlers going for each other, and a little tiny referee. And suddenly, look, who's having? He's going to be concertinaed between those two heavyweights. And just in the nick of time, he jumps out of the way and the heavyweights collide.
Remember that with the devil next time. Don't get in the way. Get out of the way. When the devil collides with God, he always is defeated.
And so it is with the works of his hands. If you turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we have it in New Testament language. Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. It's a wonderful thing to walk in good works which God has before prepared. They are foreordained works that we should work. That's a wonderful thing. We can call such works the works of God. We are not only his workmanship, but the works, the good works we're doing, have been actually predestined, foreordained of God. What a wonderful thing to know the Lord like that. Now, I know it might frighten some of us, but don't let's be too frightened, because you know, every one of us, if we'll only learn by our mistakes, we can learn how to walk in work, to walk in works of foreprepared. And lastly, and briefly, in Psalm 106 and verse 47, here we have again the last phrase, and to triumph in thy praise. The third key to being always led in triumph in Christ is to triumph in thy praise. Worship is the key to so much. It is certainly the key to triumph. When you're in a terrible situation, the moment you start to really praise the Lord, really praise the Lord, that is the moment you're triumphing. It's not actually when the thing is removed or overcome or settled. The triumph begins with the first note of praise. It's a hard lesson, isn't it? When Jehoshaphat went out against those armies, those alien armies, he was told to put the singers in front. It was a strange way to win a battle. But he put the singers to praise the Lord in front. And from that moment, the battle was theirs. The Lord said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God. You see, the battle was already won. And the praise was the evidence that the battle was won. And so it is with you and I. Don't wait until your difficulty is removed, or you have some solution, but learn to worship the Lord and you will discover that you are triumphing in his praise. You see, if you want to be miserable, you can be miserable. It's very simple, the Christian life. There are many Christians who want to be miserable. And the Lord says, all right, if you want to be miserable, you can be miserable. But there's no need to be miserable. In fact, the only people who suffer when you and I are miserable are ourselves and others.
But you know, we can triumph in his praise. And in the midst of the greatest of difficulties, we can know a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's possible. The secret is to praise the Lord. The moment I praise the Lord, I have started being led in triumph in Christ. It's as simple as that. A simple lesson, but a very real lesson. And it's one that takes us often a long time to learn. But when you and I learn what it is just to praise the Lord, and I'm not speaking about those hollow things, that hollow-voiced kind of praise, which is no praise at all. I'm speaking about people who, in the midst of their difficulty, look away from the waves and the wind and deliberately fix their eye upon the Lord Jesus, and find they can praise. And then, when that happens, you're already in the train of his triumph. Always led in triumph in Christ. Shall we pray? Oh Lord Jesus, thou knowest so often when thou hast made all the provision that is necessary for us to be found in the train of thy triumph. Lord, thou knowest so often we're found in our own defeat, wallowing in defeat. Lord Jesus, we pray that thou wouldst teach every one of us, that we may be able to give thanks, may be able, Lord, always to be led in triumph in Christ, and that savor of the Lord Jesus Christ may be manifested through us everywhere we go. O Lord Jesus, may it be like that. Help every one of us this morning. If there is sin in our lives, help us to deal with it, Lord. Help us to bring it to thee that it might be dealt with and put away. If there's anything, Lord, that's come in, that's brought defeat, well, Lord, help us. But we do pray that every one of us may know something of that glorious victory which is thine in our lives, day to day. We ask it in thy name. Amen. Amen.